Welcome to Insight Nature versus Nurture. This is a podcast focused on broadening individual perspectives regarding the impact that food, environment, and the individual themselves have on achieving optimal physical and mental health. So sit back, relax, plug in, and enjoy the show.
Good evening.
Joel.
Yes, how are you?
Good, man. You're always the first one in. I love it.
Oh, quick on the trigger. Always ready.
Always ready. Hey, Greg.
Hi. Hello.
Hello, Clarice.
How are you?
That's not creepy at all.
No, it's, well, with my facial hair, it's not at all either, right? But, yeah. Where's Benny, babe? He didn't hit the button?
Give him a chance. It's his first time. Give him a chance.
He's pulling a Neil.
Yeah, exactly.
doesn't lock in.
he doesn't have an excuse, though.
That's true.
How's the audio on my side? Is it good?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, perfect.
That's not bad.
Good. Joel, right, do you have anything to say?
I chose a topic. I should.
Yes. You lead the way tonight, buddy.
All right. Well, I'll need your talents to fill in the blanks, but
as long as they're crayon, as long as I can use crayon, I'm there.
All right.
Should we get started or should we wait for this?
No, guy? Let's do it. Let's do it.
He's a techie guy. In. He should be in this. What's going on?
He can jump in. He's also an artist, so it's probably distracted.
Right. He's right? Purposely doing this because he wants to do like an entrance. Make right? an entrance.
That's exactly. Yep. Fashionably late.
There you go.
All right. So what's the topic tonight, Joel?
Tonight, I wanted to talk about sleep, time management, and productivity. I think they all go hand in hand. Oh, there he is.
There's Ben.
There. See? We fashionably late.
Yep.
That's all right. All right. Let me start over. So tonight we will talk about sleep, time management, and productivity, and how it all ties together.
Excellent.
I like it.
Yeah. Yes. Sleep because
it's sleep important is what? Part of your health. Important part of your health.
Craig,
Joel, do you have anything to say on the matter?
Yes. Before we start, Joel, would you like to start?
Yes, I do. I do actually. No, it's just because I think they all tie it together, like I said, and you know, we say productivity and time management, so I'll wake up earlier to get more done, but then you don't go to bed earlier, so you cut on your sleep. So you might be tired. So there's two types of tired. Personally, that's the way I see it. You can be tired for one day and that's all right. So you can pull a longer day and wake up early, go to bed later, and that's all right for a day or two. But then you get the long term tired and that's bad. And that can bring all kinds of bad stuff, right? And so yeah. It's all time management and how you manage your sleep and your productivity and how early you go to bed and wake up and all that.
Okay. So guys, why don't we do this? Since we've got some great personalities and perspectives on this, let's do like a round table thing. So why don't we go,
sure.
Joel just spoke. So Greg, why don't you give us your 10 cents on this and then we'll move to Ben and then we'll circle around. Okay.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And whoever's typing, I can hear.
Oh, sorry. It's me.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with the waking up early and getting productivity. But sometimes, like for me in my lifestyle now is my kids, if I get up early, my kids are getting up early and that makes for a bad day. So, so I
That's
have
a
to,
good point.
Do you mean? So I have to, well, I shouldn't say bad day, but you know, the kids are just
a hard day
maniacs, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost better for me to stay in bed. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then do the midnight oil, burn the midnight oil. But I want to get up early, but just right now it's a lifestyle I can't afford. So
cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Ben, what's your take on this?
Yeah, congrats. I think really everybody's got a different physiology, and I think it really depends on what your body needs. So as you go through life, you sort of learn like, oh, I can't stay up till 2 a.m. Or as you sort of get older, you realize you can't stay up so late, or you can't get up early. I'm the type of person who stays up till 1 or 2 a.m. and then sleeps in till 9 or 10 and then starts doing my work. So right. I still put in an 8 to 10 hour day, but it just depends on what your body is sort of good at or what your body's used to, and that sort of goes along with your whole circadian rhythm to that with the sun and daylight savings time and stuff. And I'm sure everybody sort of noticed when daylight savings time hits, you just get knocked on your ass for a week or more, because then you're all out of whack because you're an hour behind or an hour ahead, and you're screwed for that period of time.
Man, yep. Speaking on that, the circadian or the daylight savings time doesn't affect children. Just FYI, they get up. They get up at the same time. Right. So instead of five
and animals,
it's maniacs.
They don't follow any rules. No. They don't know rules yet. That's the part of the parent to instill those rules.
Oh, it's so tiresome.
Through brute force, brute force and ignorance.
Right. Shouting and candy. Yeah, candy. Get out of here.
NyQuil helps. Just shove some NyQuil their way. That'll reset anybody's circadian rhythm.
Yeah, right, actually.
So you guys all bring up some really valid points, and they're all interconnected. So, like, with Greg being a Nighthawk and Ben being a Nighthawk, like, it's really the research is all about the quality of sleep and the time of sleep. So really, as long as you're getting that 8 hours and you're getting into your sleep pattern, I guess really at the end of the day, guys, it has to do with consistency, a lot like food. If you're consistent with your sleep patterns, the body adjusts accordingly. It's when those sleep patterns are intermittent, like they've done. There's countless research studies that were focused on shift workers, especially the two day, two nights.
I did
right?
that, man. I did that.
And that changeover is same here as a firefighter. And even in the Navy, we had like military watches and stuff like that. So you're up at different hours of the night. And what it does is it breaks the ability to be consistent. Hmm. And it's in the consistency that the body finds its rhythm, right? No consistency, no rhythm. And that's where you see a lot of the long-term ill effects. Like, they've done studies where they've definitively shown that people that are up for 24 hours are classified type 2 diabetics. Like, they have literally they're for a period of time after a 24-hour shift, like, especially with the firefighters and police officers and people going to this 24-hour shift. If they're up all night and they're working, they have the symptoms of type 2 diabetes for 72 hours afterwards.
Wow.
So that's how difficult it can be on your body. And not to mention, you know, your mental status, but also your physiology. So this study shows that it does impact you physiologically.
Well, so I feel like it can be hard too in those groups of people, because it's almost, I remember coming, like, I tried to get into med school for the longest time, and in those groups of people, and I'm sure it would be the same for firefighters or cops or whomever, if you're doing a 24-hour shift, it's like, oh, I've been up for 36 hours, and it's a point of pride, whereas you're destroying your physiology, and you're going to really struggle then. And like you say, your body is now struggling for the next 72 hours trying to recoup from what you just did.
Exactly. Really just trying to catch his breath and then to do it all over again. So that's why, like, there's such a high rate of chronic illness, is, you know, heart disease, diabetes, all of those things. When it comes to shift workers, it's a high risk category because of the actual shift work itself.
Well, man, I know when I would get off my shifts, like out west doing the nights, I felt like I was hungover. Like, nights, it would just like deplete me, like, you know, just, I couldn't think, and you're like a different human being, right? And it's weird to eat, like, you're eating your meals at, like, when you should be sleeping, and it's just so strange. You mean, like, it's, I don't know how people do it. I vowed, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do the night shift. Like, you're supposed to be sleeping. We don't see at night like cats. We should be sleeping. That's my philosophy.
No, and it's you're right, Greg. And it's ironic that the majority of the health care professionals, the frontline workers, they're shift workers. And you hit on a very, very important point in that, where your eating is off. So two of the three things that your body really sets its circadian rhythm to, like Ben mentioned, it's light, right? Sleeping hours. So the light has a lot to do with your circadian rhythm, your hormones. The other one is food. The other one is exercise. And shift work impacts all of those things, right? So it really sets your body into a tailspin. And then it affects you psychologically, because you have what's called inflammatory cytokines. They're developed in the body. And what they do is they're excitotoxins that leach up into your brain. and all of a sudden you have a very difficult time processing information and reacting on a logical level. So if you could imagine a police officer on a night shift that whose eating has been totally off, their blood sugars are off, they're sleep deprived, and they're in a crisis situation, the probability of them acting, you know, to the height of their capability is slim to none. Right.
Yeah. And your roommates look at you weird. Like when you get off at and you have a beer or seven, you have a beer. When you get off at 7 a.m. and you're having a beer while your roommate is having cereal, they look at you real weird.
But that's a good point. And it's funny, like I've spoken to groups on this where, you know, in particular, like nursing. So nurses come home at the end of their shift and they eat breakfast before going to bed, and police officers too. Now, when you get into that type of eating, they've done studies that have shown that, say, for example, I'll use a bowl of oatmeal. A bowl of oatmeal, when you eat it upon waking, has a very mild insulin effect, okay? That same bowl of oatmeal eaten before you go to bed has a much more dramatic effect on your insulin, all right? So the timing of your food in comparison to when you're sleeping and when you're awake has a very dramatic effect on the total health of that food. So people coming home at the end of a long shift and having a bowl of cereal before going to bed, because say their shift ended, like myself in the fire department, I'd be home at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'd be eating breakfast and then going to bed and wondering why I felt like trash the next day. Yeah. What I was doing was I was promoting type 2 diabetes. I was promoting insulin, right, resistance, because I was eating a breakfast meal before I went to bed, and it didn't like, it was a square peg round hole. Right.
You're trained to be a sumo wrestler.
Right? One meal a day, but just all
right before bed.
And carving up like that right before you go to, like, you're supposed to carve up, like if you're having oatmeal, you're having a bowl of cereal, they're designed, like you say, to carry you through the day. But if you're having those carbs right before bed, you are not going on a marathon unless you're a very you get night
active sleeper.
Yeah. Restless leg syndrome, but I don't think you're running marathons in your sleep.
No.
I've never ran a marathon in my life, so
let alone
I'm sleeping.
Well, what do they do though? So what do these people do? They just don't eat during the night? What's the best answer for them to do?
That's a really good question. What you do is you treat your day like your night. So if you go in for a night shift, then basically, like, the body doesn't know time on the clock. It knows waking to sleeping. So if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get stuff ready for your 6 o'clock deployment, then essentially that's your breakfast. Right. Right? You're waking up, you're getting ready, so you gas the vehicle up before you take the drive, not when you arrive home and park it in your garage.
So really, you just don't work night shifts then?
Well, yeah, exactly. If you're working a night shift, if you're in a career right now that you have to work a night shift,
that's the only solution. Yeah.
That's the only solution. Yep.
I mean, see, then Blaine was on the right track, trying to close hospitals that were open for 24 hours. He was on the right track.
That's right. He had a good idea.
He was saving people's lives.
Right.
Their sleep lives.
Right. Yeah. Closing hospitals save lives.
Joel, do you have anything to say on the matter?
Anything to
Joel's,
add?
I think Joel's gone.
Did he leave?
Oh, he is gone.
Yeah, oh, he's exited the debate.
He's it's,
I know. I
screw
heard
you guys were out.
I think he's having communication.
No one's given him a chance to talk, so he just left.
Trainers, they're so sensitive.
I know, right? He's maybe sleeping.
Hopefully, you know what? I think he's taking the advice of us, and he's sleeping.
One thing to be said, though, is I know success leaves clues. And you look at a lot of the top guys, top girls and guys, CEOs and everything like that, and a lot of them have in common that they wake up early. They wake up 4:30, 5 o'clock. They get the stuff done. So there's something to it, I think, there. I really do.
Well, it's true. Like the majority of successful entrepreneurs and business people, like, there's a common trait, and they call it the 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. club. And the reason for that is, and again, everybody's different. Some people are really creative in the evening, but the majority of people are in the morning, your brain waves are different. You've got theta and you've got like beta and these different wavelengths that your brain functions at. And you're actually functioning on a different level in the morning. And that's why like a lot of these like CEOs and people that seem to manage and juggle a lot of balls, they tend to be early risers. And that's one of the most common traits between hello.
There he is. He's back.
I was there the whole time.
That seems to be one of the more common traits amongst these CEO right. people.
Yeah, just so you say your brain waves are different, eh? In the morning than there?
Yeah, yeah. There's a few doctors like Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Joe Dispenza, my buddy's into him. He's getting into some woohoo stuff too, isn't he? Kind of like
Well, no. These are like he talks about neurology. Like see, the thing is, right now is the brain is one of the only organs where these professionals don't actually have access to it, where they don't actually even look right. at it. It's, you know, they diagnose through nonverbal, you know, communication, behaviors and things like that.
That's true.
So Dr. Joe Dispenza, there's a few other ones that are out there and they're groundbreaking, you know, microbiologists and neurologists. And they're talking about brain chemistry, neuroplasticity, how you wire and fire the synapses in the mind and how malleable it is. But guys, all of this happens at sleep, right? Your brain during the day is less active than it is in the evening. During the day, it's all just basically, you know, movement. So it's neuromuscular. Right. And at nighttime is when your immune system and your cells and your brain it really do come alive.
So is that messed up when you're doing shift work or is it still activated?
It is messed up if that shift work is irregular. Like say, for example, you work nights. Like say you were a janitor at a school or a custodian. Nights, every night. You worked every
– Yeah, that would be okay.
Right? That would be okay because your body would find the rhythm to that. And all of a sudden you'd see that, you know, it was just a regular 24-hour cycle. It's this displacement that tends to be the damaging right. aspect of it. It's the days off right. and the days on.
Yeah, see, the shift that I did when I went west was a 5, 5, and 4, they called it. So it was like 2 days, 2 days, 3 nights, 5 off, and then like 5 or 3 days, 2 nights, 4 off. It was weird. So you're always flipping back and forth to change over. Yeah. And, man, it just I literally hated it.
Same.
Activity and exercise can really help stave off the effects of that. But before I'll shut up after this. But a good friend of mine, he's a German descendant, basically right from Germany, first generation. No diabetes.
Is that what a German descendant means?
Whatsoever. I guess so. Anyway,
I'm about to see, okay.
Wow.
Anyway. But what I'm getting at, Greg, is that he was like not like third right. generation, no, I know. First generation. Okay. With no I'm trying to get a point across here so other people can talk.
This is my you're best skill, bud.
it's my superpower. He's been a shift worker. He's an engineer for Irving, and he's a shift worker. And he was recently diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. He went in. He's physically fit. He went in for his he's on the fire brigade for the refinery. He's a captain in there, and he was going in for his yearly physical. And they tested his blood glucose, and his blood glucose was in the 20s. Which is unheard of, right? Like that's incredibly high. Like that's neuropathy. That's destroying cells and breaking your system down. That's danger. And because your typical blood glucose should be anywhere between 4 and 7. His was in the 20s. And he's, you know, 48 years of age or 47 years of age and physically fit with no family history of diabetes whatsoever. But he's the only shift worker in his family, right? They work shifts much like you work, Greg, with the five on and, you know, all this stuff. So he's been there working shifts now for the last probably almost 20 years. And this is, you know, so this has definitely been a factor in his in his health.
And I think that goes back to what you said about consistency, Neil, about how if you are consistent with anything, you can almost defy, well, that would seemingly defy the laws of physiology that his sugar shouldn't be that high. But if he's surviving like that and healthy or seems to be healthy, then you can do whatever you want, I suppose.
Yeah. And, you know, he was complaining. His eyesight was starting to diminish. He was lethargic, like just all kinds of different issues. And, you know, just off, it was pure luck that they were able to catch this before other symptoms started to manifest themselves. Because you can't function with a blood glucose that high. Like it'll create, like, you know, it'll make you very susceptible to dementia. You'll start to lose memory because that type of sugar affects your brain. But yeah, but the thing is that the sleep is directly associated to the cells that uptake, or the receptor cells, right? So when you become fatigued, everything in your body gets tired. And, you know, when you're tired, you don't want to listen to anybody. So your receivers, your receptor cells, they start to get like that. And then what happens is you actually end up losing, like, especially with type 1 diabetes. It's, you end up, has anybody blown the speakers in their car before?
Yeah.
Right? Same idea, is that the receptors to insulin start to go numb. Like they get so tired that they're not hearing insulin. So your pancreas has to dump so much insulin into your bloodstream that eventually the pancreas tanks out. You end up blowing your pancreas. And that's where, like, type 2 diabetes, like, he could have had diabetes for a long time. He could have been type 2 undiagnosed. And then all of a sudden, his pancreas just failed.
Refresh me, what's the types again? Type 1 or type 2 is caused? Is it what it is? Or food related?
Yeah, type 2 has been linked directly to lifestyle. Like, it's just basically, it's just overuse of insulin. It's glucose and insulin resistance. So your blood glucose is so high all the time that eventually that's what happens. Your receivers go numb, or you end up tanking out your pancreas, which leads you to type 2 insulin-dependent diabetes.
And type 1, is you're born with it? Is that what it is? Or genetic or something?
Yeah, well, type 1 is a different disease, but it attacks the same organ, really. So it's diabetes, but it's a different form of it. Typically, it's like an autoimmune or something has attacked the cells, the beta cells, and has destroyed the pancreas's ability to release insulin.
Interesting. Joel, do you have anything to say on the matter?
No, actually, earlier I thought you guys were playing a bad joke on me because I was trying to input the whole time and you guys were just ignoring it, trying to get pissed off. Because on my end, I could see everything that was normal. I could hear you guys well. I was like, wow, they must be playing a joke on me or something.
That's too fitting, man. That's too way too.
Fitting. Yeah,
isn't that too bad?
Yeah.
The guy drops the topic for the evening, and we cut him out of the conversation.
I'm like, whoa. No, but that's what I said. You touched on shift work, and I've done a little bit of shift work myself. I was a correctional officer for a little while, and I had to drive back 40 minutes after my 12-hour shift, and it was worse than driving drunk. You know, it was terrible.
I had to
pull over all the time to sleep here and there. It was terrible. I hated it, and it was the time of my life where I was the worst. Like my health was the worst. I was. Remember last podcast I said I would bend down and have a hard time? That was that time, because I would eat like poutine in the middle of the night.
Still the good stuff.
Yeah, just to stay awake, but it didn't really do any good job for that.
Oh, man.
No, but it's you're more susceptible to that food because of your glucose resistance, but also too is it's like slapping someone in the face when they're falling asleep. Like you eat that food and it causes inflammation. And, you know, with insulin is directly linked to adrenaline. And so your body, in effect, is trying to keep you alive and safe and aware because it thinks in terms of evolutionary biology. If you go to sleep in an environment that is like that, like, you know, a prison situation or a firefighter or, you know, at a refinery or something like that where you need to be awake or else there's danger, right? Yeah. Right? Driving a truck. So your body looks for creative ways to keep you awake because it's thinking about the here and now. but it's doing it at the behest of your long-term health. And this is why people can do that for years and even decades, but then eventually all of a sudden it catches them. And they're like, you know, my friend is like, how did I develop diabetes? And I'm like, man, it didn't happen overnight. This was coming, right? And that's the nefarious nature of chronic illness. It's the smoking gun. It's the link between, right? So like smoking, for example, it took them 35 years to definitively link smoking to lung cancer because of the time it took for the lung cancer to manifest itself. There was no clear pathology from point A to point B, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but what can we do? So let's close off this with, all right, let's round table it again. What would you guys suggest in regards to, say you are a shift worker, or say you are sleep deprived, you're just one of these people that have gotten out of the routine and you're up late at night, like how can you fix, what are some hacks that you guys know of, that things that they'd be able to apply in order to fix that?
Well, for me, it's just sometimes you don't feel like, especially when you have kids, right? Like when you throw in the kids factor in there, it's definitely very difficult. Greg's mentioned it before, is I can't win. So I try to wake up early and they're up early. I try to stay up late, they wake up late. So it's definitely a challenge. But like if you're trying to manage your sleep and sleep better so you can wake up earlier to achieve, because personally I like to wake up at 5:30 so I can always slam a couple tasks before everybody else is awake, and I find that's a great thing to do. But it's also tough to do if you go to bed at 12. You can't do that, right? You may be able to do it for one day or two, right? But long term it's not realistic. And so it's just trying to reset that cycle like Ben talked about, you know. So you go to bed earlier, even though you don't really feel like going to bed earlier, you'll eventually get used to it. And then you'll wake up earlier, and then the next day you'll find that you're more tired to get back. So you'll be able to go to bed early. The pattern, yeah. So you just shift it an hour earlier. So if you're up earlier and up and going, you do stuff at 9 o'clock, you will get tired at 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's funny, Joel, how it kind of relates to physical activity in terms of adding weight. You know what I mean? Like if you're doing a bench press and you add a little bit of weight and then that weight gets lighter and then you add a little bit more, like how the body responds to small daily changes, it much better than it responds
big
to
ones,
acute, like massive big ones all at
and
once.
And just, yeah, that's very true. And just one last thing I want to touch on is like for people that says, I don't have time to work out, working in the morning is a great time and a great opportunity to work out. I think maybe, Neil, you can touch on that, but I think working out earlier can boost your metabolism for the rest of the day too, right? Am I correct?
Correct. Yep. I'll work around to that. We'll hear from Ben and Greg, and then
what I was talking about earlier, remember? The success has leaves clues is those people that are high in those positions seem to have the same trait, a quality as well, that they work out. They work out in the morning, they get up and they work out, or they dedicate a certain amount of time to working out. But I'll let you talk on that. But my advice for people like that is to get kids and they will tire you out.
Very true.
You have no choice but to crash because they tire you out.
You will pray.
Yeah, you will pray for bed. I need sleep.
You will pray for bed.
No, darken your room, though. For me, that's a huge one. I knew that when I did the shift work, if I didn't have the blackout curtains when I was sleeping the other day, it was an awful sleep because you see that little crack of light come through, do you mean? And you needed the room to be just pitch black. That's what helped me anyway. So I would suggest that.
Cool. There's a lot of research that supports that as well, Greg. Yeah.
Benjamin, you here?
I found that having a routine in the morning or at night, it didn't matter what I did during the day, but I found when I worked nights, having a routine to go to bed was sort of the best thing that I found to be able to do, because I made the mistake for the longest time of I'd be exhausted, I'd get off a shift or 12 hours, or at that time I was going to school and working nights.
Oof.
So by the time I'd only have 4 or 5 hours to sleep, so I'd just go to bed and crash. So I wasn't eating properly. But I found when I sort of moved away from such a hectic schedule and I had a few hours to sort of play with, getting off and then having a couple hours to let my body sort of rest, I'd get off and eat. And then a couple hours later, I would end up going to bed. So I found having that routine, and same thing in the morning, being able to wake up, and I need, really, like, it's not about having coffee, it's not about having breakfast, it's about having about an hour of existence before I do anything
of existence
for the longest time through through university and through learning and trying different lifestyle. Like, even out of university, I was in the lifestyle and the mindset of I'd wake up and I'd make coffee in like 2 minutes from the Keurig, and I'd rush off to class, and then you'd be sleeping like the whole day.
Right.
Whereas if I have an hour, like a quality hour before I'm able to do anything, I'm so much more on the ball. I'm more creative in my work that I have to be, and I'm more just better throughout the day, more better mindset. And then going to bed, that same thing, having an hour or two to be able to download before just like falling into bed and crash.
Yeah.
It's amazing what four different perspectives can bring to the table. So those things are for you guys listening, not the guys that are on the podcast, but those of you that are listening to this podcast need to write that shit down right now, because it is so important. All right. So Joel hit on the fact, okay, in the morning, people get up, they exercise, it elevates metabolism. There's a lot of science that backs that up because of the fact that, number one, you're getting it out of the way. So psychologically, you're paying homage to the person who is taking care of the day. All right. So the most important person in your day is you. So what you're doing is you're getting you checked off on the box first. All right. So that exercise is done. It's over with. You don't have to think about it. The body's been taken care of. Now the body can take care of you for the rest of the day. So it's like getting up in the morning, going out to your car before you drive to work, checking the tire pressure, letting the car warm up, right? Checking all the fluid levels, making sure that it is spit and polished so that it's going to get you from where you are to work and then back at home in one piece. All right. So that's how important that is. Getting up in the morning, exercising your body gets all of the joints and all of the hormones and everything just primed and ready to roll for the day. So that is incredibly important. And it doesn't have to be going to the gym in the blistering cold. It could be getting up and it could be stretching. It could be, you know, doing some plyometrics or just a little, you know, something to get your heart rate up and get your muscles active. Right. Really, really, really important. And the rest of the day, guys, what are you doing? You're eating. You're grazing throughout the day. You're eating your food. So if you work out just before you go to bed, if you work out in the evening, you have one meal before you go to bed. You have one meal. So your body has that one meal to replenish itself and to repair itself. Whereas if you work out in the morning, right, you have all of the food that you accumulate all day now gets attributed towards recovery of the damage, right? So you're getting a much bigger window of repair. Okay. So it creates a more anabolic environment that way. And okay, now Greg, with the light, there's Rob Wolf is a researcher. The other one, Dr. Chris Kresser is another one. They talk about and they've done studies for like the Los Angeles Fire Department and like these massive epidemiological studies regarding sleep cycles and the need for dark in a room in order to adequately get your REM cycle and get that recuperative sleep. Really, really important. I lived in a house previously and they had a big picture window and it was arced at the top of the window. And we didn't have anything to cover that. So the streetlights would come in. So it would never really be that dark. I had difficulty sleeping in that room. In the house that I'm in right now, we have a darkened room. I'm having much better sleep and much more recuperative sleep. Okay. So darkness and, you know, how it infiltrates and penetrates the eyelids, things like this, like your body is driven by light cycles. So it can be very, very important to have a dark room. So sleeping with something over your eyes, like those blinders that people have, like something like that could be absolutely incredible as well.
Yeah.
Neil, I would totally expect you to have one of those sensory deprivation tanks, whatever you call them, in your
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. You just rise, like you rise from your feet. Like,
I get it. Yeah.
I'm awake. I'm awakened.
And one last thing I think is important too is everybody look at their phone. Blue light, that could affect your sleep as well. So put on that blue light filter.
I got it on.
Yeah, there was a video that I posted the other day with JP Sears and how he uses those glasses, sunglasses that block the blue.
I do the same. I have different glasses for when I'm working. Stuff like I have entirely different glasses, just that are tinted and have that blue light blocking factor. Because it'll give me headaches or it'll just affect my sleep. Yeah.
I need those guys, and actually, I'll probably talk to you a little bit further in that because I like to get some for myself and Jody because we work so much now with, like, you know, online with social media and stuff. So we're always in front of our devices. So, and Ben had the routine, and this one is a really important one as well. You need a startup routine and you need a close down routine, right? Anybody that's worked with any mechanical stuff, and we are biomechanical machines, right? Like today I moved my snowblower out to the back shed, and tomorrow it's going to snow.
Sweet, eh? Sweet.
Sorry.
It's your
Murphy's
fault.
Law. Yeah, exactly. But there's a startup sequence to it, right? The choke and all this stuff.
That's how I start.
And then
Mike.
When you...
You right? choke yourself in the
when
morning?
You turn it off.
Just going to glaze past that. Sure, Neil. All right, that's fine.
I knew Greg would pick up on that. He doesn't miss a beat when it comes to that. But the like having a startup sequence and a shutdown sequence, like when you wake up too early, you slam coffee in your face and you're out the door, the body's in panic because – right? The only time in terms of evolution where you'd be woken up like that and have to move that aggressively is if your life was threatened, right? Right? So your body is thinking, like what your mind sees, your body believes. So your mind is thinking, oh, I got to get to work. I got to get through traffic. You know, all the stuff that you had to jump into your day on with no warm up, right? And Joel can attest to this as well, is if you do heavy lifting, without warm-up, your potentiality for injury goes way up. This is injuring our biochemistry, our neurobiology, right? All of these things are being injured because the body is now focused on, I need to move at any cost. And if it costs me some short-term health, so be it, because I need to evade this predator. And this is what we're waking up to every single day. And what this does is it chips away at us. So it creates a deficit. So eventually that deficit gets so big that we end up losing quality in our life. It's a massive debt that we're accumulating. And knowing these little things can make a world of difference in regards to, okay, so by doing these tiny little things, having a darker room, having a morning routine, having a night routine, right? Exercising earlier in the day as opposed to later in the day. These habits, it's like penny stocks. You're putting little bits of money in a long-term financial plan. And then 60 years down the road when we're all retired, we have that to draw from. We have this account of health that we've invested in at a very early age, whereas everybody else is scrambling later in life with these very risky stock portfolios. And there's high risk associated to that with a very, very, you know, small chances of success. And this is what more people are doing. They're investing in the short term, you know, the quick 90 and 180 degree turns, the acute responses, instead of listening to little tidbits of information that we are offering on insight so that they can start applying these things now, teach their kids these behaviors. And then lo and behold, 30, 40 years in the future, they're not falling victim to what a bunch of the other people are falling victim to. Because they missed the boat. They didn't pay attention to the good information, the good investment advice.
Yep,
does that sound buddy. Right, guys?
It's like, I could hear that again.
Yeah, you put
you
me right
asleep,
in the zone.
You fell asleep.
Yeah, no, it was good.
That was one of your best analogies so far, I think. You are, man. You're on fire.
I'm just getting
keep going. Just go. Run with it.
Yeah.
Write a book. Sing a song. We'll do whatever you want.
You can't handle the truth. There's men that sit on a wall.
Oh man! Speaking of sleep, I need some. Think,
yeah,
but you go ahead. Ben. You gotta cut you off there.
Oh no! I was just gonna say. I think that's what's paramount about what sort of insight is and what insight offers is that sort of accountability because it's so easy to, like you said, Neil, we have four different perspectives here, and imagine the amount of perspectives we have in the group from other people too. So being able to have infinite, relatively infinite numbers of perspectives to draw from, like, hey, this is my experience, is huge. So it's nice to have that as a resource as well.
It is. It's massive. And then you're able to pick out what is relevant to you, like intuitively. Oh, yeah, you know what? That makes sense. And you're hearing it from someone that, you know, we're all going through something different, but we're all going through the same thing at the same time. We all want better health, but what's depleting our health is very different to each individual. And it's really cool to hear from someone who's going through a similar situation or has gone through a similar situation, and they're on the other side of it now. There's an old, I believe it's Chinese. It's a saying where, in order to find out where you're going, ask someone who's on their way back. Right. So that's the thing. Like we don't share these experiences. We share a lot of the after effects, like, you know, the glory of being on the top of the mountain, but we're not sharing with people how we got there. We're not seeing the journey. And that's exactly, Ben, that's what Insight is about. It's about sharing your journey, calling your shot before you make the shot.
Right.
And then others can follow that behavior and take morsels of it and apply it to their own and have something that is uniquely there. So it's a community promoting more individuality, if that's even possible. We love found it.
Yes.
I love it. That was cool. A beauty.
All right. Yeah, this has been an eye opener. Like it's great to get topics from you guys, and it's great to get topics from the community as well. Because I mean, look how insightful this podcast has been regarding, you know, people have four very cool things that they can employ that can make a massive change in their health, both physiologically and psychologically.
Yes.
All right.
Cool. Well done, guys.
Till next week.
All right. Until next week, we'll pick a topic. And if any of you listeners want to guide us a little bit, if you want to shoot some topics our way, you want to post them to the group, you want to private message us, feel free. We'll do our best to get it together for a Sunday night talk.
Yes, okay? I love it. Except for the part I wasn't there.
You did it on purpose.
Yeah, but it's all good. All right, guys. Have a good evening.
Take care, guys.
All right.
All right. All right.